really, I just feel the Lord's presence. I feel Him. I know Him. I know what He wants to do. And I've got a message, but we might have to change some things or just condense some things. But, you know, I really just feel that God's moving. He's impacting our hearts, and we move with God. We don't move, and then He moves. We move with Him, and that's the great news tonight. So hopefully that makes you feel at ease. We move with God. We are not better than Him. He is bigger than us. He is better than us. But, you know, the thing that God had put in my heart this week is just the story of the Good Samaritan. We're going to look at it in just a moment. I just want to share with you. I want to share with you tonight just that God needs you and He wants you. And I love this idea, and I not even love the idea. I just love what God has done in Mark's heart and love what He's done in his life. But He's doing the exact same thing for you. And He's saved us and He's set us free. And, you know, for God, nothing is too hard for Him. Nothing is too difficult. No depth is too deep. No pit is too dark. No place is too difficult. He will reach you. He will save you. He will transform you. Because our God is spectacular. He's amazing. And I think if we remember nothing about tonight, but just to remember one thing, just let's get a bigger picture of God. Let's just get a bigger image of Him. He is huge. He is humongous. He is amazing. He's just everywhere. He's absolutely everywhere. Absolutely everywhere. And yet He's personal to you, and He loves you, and He sees you, and He knows you, and He loves you through and through. That's what I love about our God. He's so big, but yet He's so personal. He's so big, but yet He's so small, because He's able to be beside us. He's able to be with us. He's able to comfort us. He cares when we're not feeling well. You know, He cares about those things as much as He cares about the big things in our lives. God cares about us tonight. I want to share just a simple word, and then we're going to look at Luke 10. We'll look it up in just a moment. But I want to share with you, and I want to remind you that God needs you. That God needs you. One of the biggest things that jumps out from Mark's testimony to me is his dad was praying. And you know, the great thing that God has decided, and the great thing that I love about God, is He's decided to include us on the exciting news of the gospel. He's decided to include us as we would be a helper to Him. The Bible says that we're ambassadors to Him, that we would be His hands and feet. We would be like the legs for God, and we would pray when we need to pray, and we would touch when we need to touch, and we would help people out. You know, and this is what I believe God has sent us tonight. And it bear in mind even more so when Mark would say, I wonder where it would have been if my dad hadn't have prayed for me. I wonder if my dad hadn't have brought together that prayer group to pray for me when I was in Ibiza. Where would I be? Would I even be alive? And I know when he says that, he's not saying that lightly. He's not saying that just flippantly. He absolutely means that almost like a scare thing, because it was that close. And I think tonight, guys, we got to recognize and realize just how fragile life has been. Did anybody hear the story of this? I mean, there's been so many things, but the one that really broke my heart this week was this girl, Charlene from Portadown. Did anybody hear about that one? It's just unbelievable. Here's a girl who had a baby 5 years ago. It turns out her baby had cancer, and a year and 12 days, her baby dies of cancer. I mean, it's heartbreak, absolutely heartbreaking. It seems like her whole life falls apart. And then I think it even turns out that the cancer came through her because it was like hereditary. It just came through the genes. Just heartbreaking. 5 years later, I read it in the newspaper this week. I didn't even know the girl, but just your heart breaks because it's just such a sad story. And 5 years later, the same cancer that was through her into her baby ends up just exploding inside of her. And 5 years later, she's dead too. You know what I mean? This world that we live is incredibly cruel. Sin is incredibly cruel. There's no other better way to describe it other than it just wants to destroy you, wants to kill you. It absolutely wants to destroy you. It wants to kill you. It comes from the enemy. It comes from the devil. And his goal, his purpose for your whole life is to destroy you. It's to make it look good. It's to make it look attractive. It's to make it look like it's the right way to go. But ultimately, all he wants to do is just destroy you. He absolutely hates you. Hates you. Because we've got to reckon this tonight. We've got to realize this tonight. And God is saying tonight, I need you, because there's so many things out there. And you've got to be a help for me. You've got to be a help for me. I need some people that are willing to stand in the gap. You know, God looked back in the Old Testament, and he looked at the prophet Ezekiel, and he says, I need somebody that's going to stand in the walls. I need somebody that's just going to stand in the gap and look out for me, because there's people that are just being destroyed. There's people that are just dying everywhere. God came to Noah, and he said to Noah, he says, I need you, Noah. I've been looking for a righteous man. I've been looking for a guy who could go for me, and I can't find anyone anywhere, but maybe you'd be the man for me. And he says to Noah, I need you to build a boat, and he builds a boat. It's the most ludicrous thing you ever heard, but he builds a boat, and it saves the world. It absolutely saves the world. Saves a bunch of animals, but it saves the world. That's what it ends up doing. because a person was willing to go for God, because a person was willing to say yes to Jesus. I mean, I want us to get to the point where we realize that it's absolutely vital that we fulfill the calling and purposes that God's got for us. It's absolutely vital. Lives are going to depend on it. I'm not even trying to be melodramatic. I'm not trying to overhype the thing. I'm letting you know from the bottom of my heart, if we do not do what God has called us to do, more people are going to end up in hell. More people are going to die without a Savior. We're here to be God's hands and feet. Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save the lost, but I've got to go, and there's one coming just like me. It's the Holy Spirit, and he's going to be with you, and he's going to help you, and his fundamental main reason what he's going to do for you is he's going to make you my witnesses, and he's going to give you power to be my witnesses. I need you to be my witnesses. I need you to go into the world. I need you to share. And I'm hoping that the Lord is going to shake something up inside of us, because I know how it feels. I've done it before. I'm still doing it many days. But I know how easy it is to come to a meeting like this and just have a great time. Wow, that was really good. That was a powerful testimony. And then we move on. But then I read about the story of this girl, Charlene, and I don't even know why it jumps out at me, but it just must be because it's close to home and it's heartbreaking and it's got so many different layers to it. But, I mean, we don't have to look to Syria and our hearts are going to break there. We only have to look down the road and our hearts are going to break. I heard of another guy, and it's something to do with cancer. He got diagnosed last weekend. He died this Thursday. I mean, guys, we got to realize that there's so many big things that's going on. There's so many big things. And I'm going to encourage us to do one thing, is that we're not here to just play and be good Christians and nice Christians and try to find a way to read our Bible on a regular basis, and if we don't, we feel bad. I mean, there's so much more to life than that. There's so much more to life than that. And I truly believe this, that God has us here for a plan and purpose. There's a unique call in your life. We talk about it all the time, but I really feel God's shaking it up tonight. And I really feel that he's saying, if you do not do what I need you to do, lives are going to be lost. Lives are literally going to be lost because you're valuable. You're part of my army. We're part of the Lord's army. We learned that in Sunday school. And God's saying tonight, I need you to rise up, because I need you to go to people like Charlene and tell them about Jesus. I need you to go to people like that and be around them and be a good Samaritan. We're going to look at the story in just a moment. There's an urgency on the message. There's an urgency in why we got to go. The Lord called David. He changed the generation. He saved the generation. The Lord called Jonah. We looked at it last year at the end of Vibe. I mean, Jonah didn't want to go, but God called him anyway. And eventually God put so many things in his path. He had no choice but to go for God. He's seen one of the greatest revivals the world has ever seen. A whole city that was doomed was saved. A whole city. And I want to encourage us tonight to know this, that we are part of an unbelievable Savior. We are part of an amazing God with an amazing story. And God is saying, would you be my carrier? Would you be my witnesses? Would you go and be those witnesses to Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, to Armagh, Loch Gold, Portadown, wherever we need to go? Would we do that? Instead of maybe just plan and, you know, I'm trying to do this and I'm trying to do that. And man, all those things are good. But we are safe and secure in the Savior's arms. And the complete opposite of that is just lost, alone. Did your heart not break when Mark said that what it felt like when he saw the love of his mom from afar off? I mean, does your heart not break with something like that? That's the love that we have from our Jesus. That's the love that we have from our Savior. And I'm going to encourage you, and I'm going to maybe even start something that would burn in your heart, that say that you might even start to weep for the people around you, that your heart might even start to break for the people around you, because you've got a glimpse of what it might feel like to not have Jesus in your heart. You've had a glimpse of what hell might be like, and you said, I got to do everything and anything in my power to see all the people that I love and even the strangers that I don't know come to know Jesus, because his love is so good. His love is so good. And I'm hoping tonight that maybe God's love is already starting to fan a flame in our hearts and already starting to stir up in our hearts, and we're starting to get something that we're never, ever going to be able to put down. Because I know that God's got us here for a reason. I know that he's got us here for a reason. I know he's got you here for a reason. It's not just to have a good time, to go home, to meet a girl, to meet a guy, and that's it. I mean, all of those things are great things, and I hope that you do all of those things. I hope that you do. But there's lives at stake. And God has a unique call and unique purposes on your life. God needs to use you to save people. I mean, it's not part-time, it's full-time, it's not a holiday, it's for a lifetime. This is what God is saying. I want us to read this story. I'm going to skip a few things. I want to just get to the story, because I think this is going to make the difference. Luke 10, verses 25 to 37. I'm going to read it out. If you haven't got your Bibles, if you do, then maybe you'll make a note on it and you'll read it later. There's just so much in here. There's so much. We're just going to look at a few verses tonight that hopefully reveal some great truth in our hearts. It says, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Here's some guys. They're looking to test Jesus. Everybody's looking to test Jesus. People are looking to test us. Stood up to Jesus and says, teacher, he asked them, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. This is it. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. This is how you're going to get eternal life. Love the Lord with absolutely everything that you've got. But then there's that bit at the end, but love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. And the guy's going to draw this out even further, and Jesus is going to explain what he means here. He says, you've answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and he said, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Who's the people I'm supposed to love, like the way I'm supposed to love you? Who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going, and he tells a story, and we're going to read the story. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went by. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed on the other side too. But a Samaritan who was traveling on the same road came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil on them and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an innkeeper, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii or 2 coins, and he gave them to the innkeeper. Looked after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for the extra expense you may have. Which of these three, Jesus says, do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of the robber? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus said, go and do likewise. Here's a great story. A great story, a great parable from the New Testament. Jesus talks about it in Luke 10. And he's trying to give us an idea of what it means to love our neighbors. Now, we know what it sort of means to love God. I think we've got a pretty good idea of that. We're going to dedicate our hearts to him. We know that we've got to live, I guess, full throttle for him. We've got to live sold out for God. That's what we're told. That's what we want to do. It's not easy, but we're trying. But this idea of loving your neighbor, what does that really mean? And so Jesus tries to explain it to the guy, and I want us to just hit on a few points this morning, or this evening. Jesus said, go and do likewise. The first person that this stranger meets, let me tell you what just happened just before. The stranger's coming along. It's just a normal man. The Bible makes it clear. He was just a man. Could have been a man, could have been a woman. Just a stranger, just a person that's out there. He's just walking along. He's going from A to B. He's going from one city to the next city. He's going from one town to the next town. Suddenly he gets attacked. Suddenly something comes upon him through no fault of his own. And there he is, lying half dead, half naked, just doesn't know what to do, just beaten. Said lying half dead. What a position to be left in. First person comes along. First person comes along, and it's a priest. And I think to myself, a priest comes along. And man, I don't know how this guy was feeling at that time, but if he looked up, he probably looked at the priest and thought, wow, who could better have come along but a priest? You know what I mean? In those days, who better could have come along but a priest? What does it say? There's only like one line that it says about the priest. It says he saw the man and he crossed to the other side. He was so far out of this. He was so little concerned about this guy who's lying half dead that he wasn't even content to walk by him. He decided to cross on the other side. You know when you see someone across the street and you just don't want to speak to them, so you cross to the other side? You know, that's kind of bad, but it's not that bad, you know, in comparison to this. Here's a guy who's lying half dead. I mean, he's half dead. He's just beaten, broken, abused, just everything, stripped of everything. He's been robbed. He's been left to die. And here's a priest who should know better, and he's crossing to the other side. He's crossing to the other side. And you know the thing that hits me tonight, guys, is that could we be that different to the priest? The Bible tells us that we're all saints and scholars in the kingdom of God. We're priests, we're saints, we're the inheritance of God. We're princes and princesses because God is our king. I mean, would it be possible for us to walk past a person like that and just walk almost on the other side? I mean, would that be possible? And I would dare say, because I know my own heart and I know my own life, I mean, I know I could easily walk past. I've done it before. Seen maybe a homeless person on the street and I'm just walking on past. And you know what I'm justifying in my mind is? I'm justifying saying, well, if I give them money, they'll go and drink it. You know what I mean? If I give them money, they're just going to waste it. You know, I'm starting to judge. I'm trying to figure them out. I'm trying to decipher if they're worthy. I'm trying to assume. I'm trying to figure these guys out. Now, I don't know what the priest did, but I would imagine he probably did the very same thing. But I want us to remind us what happened to this man. It was through no fault of his own. He was lying half naked and afraid because people jumped him and robbed him. That was it. This guy hadn't made bad decisions. This guy wasn't a loser. This guy hadn't lived a life of total sin, and here he is lying in the gutter, and he doesn't deserve anyone to walk past him. Does no one deserves to ever stop with this guy? No, this was a guy who's just walking from A to B and gets attacked along the way. And I wonder tonight how easy it would be for us to start, I'll not stop with her, I'll not stop with him, I'll just keep on walking by, they're not worthy of my time. Hey, I'm kind of busy, I've got things to do. And God's saying, love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. And I think sometimes if we're not careful, we could say, well, I'd never do that. I'd never walk past someone like that. I mean, I know I always stop. But then I take it even further and I think to myself, well, what about spiritually? I wonder how many people we're walking past every day, maybe even in Vibe, that we don't even see their hurts, we don't even see their pains. Maybe the people in our work, maybe the people in our university, the people in our school, and they may not be physically lying there naked and afraid and battered and bruised, but they are on the inside. They're just covering up really well. Mark said it, he just lived a fake life for years, just trying to pretend like everything was fine, but there was a battle raging in his heart, a battle raging in his heart. And I want to urge us tonight and know that God is with us and His Holy Spirit is with us, and we have a tune-up inside of us that allows us to sense things that are maybe that we could never have sensed before. And I believe God is saying tonight, we got to love our neighbors. He's not saying we got to love our friends. I think it makes it very clear, we got to love strangers. We got to love strangers as if they're family. We got to love strangers as if they're family and have that same kind of passion and that same kind of burning desire and that same kind of desperation to see them helped and to see their lives turned around. I think if I'm honest, a lot of the times I just walk right by, but God is saying tonight, we cannot walk right by. We have to do something. We have to make a decision. We have to help. And I believe God is saying tonight again and again and again, I need you. I need you. I need you. There's so many people out there. I need you. I need you to stand up. I need you to be part of my army. I need you to get tuned up. I need you to be ready to go. I need you to get sensitive. I need you to get tuned up in the Spirit, and I need you to be effective. I can't have you just standing there and doing nothing. I need you to do stuff because literally people's lives are going to depend on it. Second person walks along, sees the guy, it's a Levite. And just very quickly, a Levite comes from Leviticus. These are guys who know all about the rules. They're very rule-orientated. They're the rules, rules, rules. They're trying to live good lives. They're trying to live within the rules. They're trying to do things right. You know what I realize is that for this Levite, he's walking along, there wasn't a rule that allowed him to stop with this guy. He wasn't prepared to break the rules. He wasn't prepared to step away from the rules. He had to keep on going. And I think tonight we've got to be very careful that we don't have these kind of rules in our lives, and I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I have to be here at this time. But if something happens, no, I have to be here at this time. I have to be here at this time. I have to do this thing. I have to do that thing. I mean, there's people out there that might need us just to take a detour one night, and we might have to give up gym one night, or we might have to come home a bit later at night because we see someone and they're just stuck and we're going to spend some time with them and we're not going to get home tonight because of it. But I want to encourage you tonight. I want to really, really encourage you. That's when you're truly going to live. That's when you're truly going to live, when you're starting to live for something greater than yourself, when you're starting to give out to people that you know are really in need, when you start to get tuned up with the Spirit and you recognize there's a person, I need to spend time with them, I need to encourage them because I have the gift of eternal life inside of me. And God is calling me tonight saying, do you want to have eternal life? Then you got to love me with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with everything that you've got. But you've got to love the neighbors. You've got to love the people around you. You've got to love the strangers. You've got to make a difference in their life. I think that's really what God is trying to say to us tonight. You've got to make a difference in people's life. Three guys walk past the same person. But two of those guys might as well never walk past. Might as well never walk past. It might as well just be about the one guy who stopped and helped the one guy who was stuck. It might as well have been. But I started to think about the guy who's sitting there. The guy who's sitting there and he's been left for dead and these guys have done all those things. Would you not have thought the first person we said a few moments ago, he probably thought his prayers had been answered. There's a priest coming along. Then he sees the priest going. I don't know how he's feeling, but he's probably thinking, wow, this is amazing. Here comes a Levite. Here's a guy who's going to help me out. But those guys might as well never even been on the scene because they did nothing. They had no effect. And I wonder how many times we might as well not even bother being on the scene because we're just having no effect. We're just making no difference. And this is not to put us down. This is hopefully, the Bible talks about a word called conviction. Maybe to challenge us. Maybe to say, come on. Maybe I need to grab a hold and just say, hey, there's more that I could do. Three guys walk past, but two might as well not have bothered. There's only one that ever did anything. I want us to be the one. I want us to be the one that's going to stop. I want us to be the one that's at least going to try. I want us to be the one that might even just take a moment, that might even just stop for just a second and maybe make a difference in somebody's life. Chrissy was over in England just the other week watching the World Cup. He'll tell himself, he was in a place where he just wasn't feeling that great in himself. He was just like just struggling for those few days, just trying to seek God, not feeling this, just not feeling him in the same way as he always does. And then he saw this guy who was on the street. And God started to speak to him about this guy. And eventually he goes up to the guy, and I think you give him 20 quid. Was it 20 quid, Chrissy? 3 quid, even better. Even better. But the guy, he did something. He reached out and he did something. You know what I mean? He did something. And is he special? No, he's just doing what God's called him to do. But was his action special? Absolutely. Absolutely. Who knows the effect it could have in somebody's heart, in somebody's life? 3 quid, what's 3 quid? I mean, it could fall out of your pocket. It's that easy to lose. You know what I mean? It's not the value. It's the stopping. It's just the taking the time. It's just reaching out and making a difference. I'm encouraging us to get to the third person. Since the third person was a Samaritan. The two before did nothing, but this guy stopped and did something. We're going to be finished in 5 minutes. Says, finally, someone stopped. Finally, someone stopped. I don't know how this guy was feeling if he was still conscious, but I can imagine the feeling of a rescue. I could imagine the feeling of, finally, somebody stopped. Maybe I'm going to live. Maybe I'm going to make this. I mean, remember, he's lying half dead. If somebody doesn't stop, will he be dead by the morning? Will he be dead? Most likely, because it's saying he's lying half dead, so he's on the way to death. He's on the way to go there. If somebody doesn't stop, this guy could be dead in the morning, but finally someone stops. Finally someone's willing to make a difference. Finally someone's willing to pause and say, okay, I'm going to help you. Had the Samaritan somewhere to go? I'm sure he had lots of places to go. I'm sure he was on an important journey. I'm sure he wasn't just idly walking by. We all got important things to do. We've all got important things to do. But for whatever reason, this guy was moved and he stopped. Three immediate things that he did. He showed immediate care. He bandaged his wounds. He had an immediate effect on this guy. He immediately cared for him. He had immediate action. He said he put him on his donkey at the expense of himself. And as he walked and he carried the other guy with him. He walked beside him on his donkey. I can't leave this person. Something moved inside of this Samaritan's heart. And he just said, I cannot leave this person. I've got to do something. And I'm hoping that God's going to put something in our hearts tonight where we're going to say, I cannot leave these people anymore. I cannot just go by every day and just laugh at the same old jokes in my workplace or laugh at the same old things and go through the same old days at school and university and just come away with it and then be excited because I'm going to get to see you and get around normal people or whatever. But instead, I'm going to get passionate about the people I'm around, and I'm going to say to myself, God, I've got to make a difference here. I've got to make a difference. Something's got to rise up in me. I could be the very person that could bring Jesus to those people. That's the kind of heart that God's looking for. That's the kind of heart. That's the kind of heart. Immediate care, immediate action, immediate cost. It cost Chrissy 3 quid. It cost this guy 2 denarii. I mean, if you look it up, that was equivalent of 2 days' wages. It was just, he gave away, this is a precious amount. This is costing this guy. It brings him to an inn, and he's not content to just leave him. He's not content to just leave him as he is. He decides, I'm going to put him up for the night. I'm going to look after this guy. I'm going to help this guy. He puts him for the inn. And I just love what he says at the end of the story. He just says to the innkeeper, keep him for as long as he needs. And when I'm coming back the next day, I'll pay up whatever he owes. This is the heart of God. This is when you're truly living. You want to know what true life is as a Christian. True life in general. Forget about just life in general. When you're truly living, this is when you're truly living. Affecting people, helping people, spending time with people, spending pounds on people, spending tenors on people. This is when it's going to touch your heart. You live any other way? I mean, I think it's going to be quite selfish. I think it's going to be quite self-centered. I think it's going to be quite me-orientated. I think it's always going to be like, why is this not happening for me? Do I not deserve better? What about me? What about me? I think as we start to look out, what about you and what about those and what about him and what about her? I think God will take care of all the me's. He will take care of all the me's. He's so good at that. I'm encouraging you to do these things, guys, tonight. I'm encouraging you because life is important and life is valuable and life is precious and we're seeing people dying at crazy rates. But God's saying you can make the difference. I want to assure you with this, anything I lose, anything I give away, any time that I deposit for God, any money that I deposit for God, it's an absolute investment in the kingdom. And everything that we sow for God, we will reap tenfold, a hundredfold, a thousandfold. Our God is spectacular. Don't ever forget that. He is unbelievable. He's amazing. He can do far and above. He created the heavens and the earth. We just have to look around. He has done all things by his marvelous hand and his marvelous works. Luke 10:25, and this is the final verse. It says, he said at the beginning, what must I do to be saved? Jesus tells him, you got to love me with all your heart, and you got to love your neighbor. At the end, Jesus said, which of these do you think was a neighbor to the man? Which person are we going to be tonight? Which person are we going to decide to be? Which person are we going to choose to be? Again, I go back to it. I wonder if Mark's dad had never prayed, would he be here sharing a powerful testimony? I don't know. I just don't know. What if the Samaritan had never stopped with the person that's lying half dead at the road? Would he have survived? Would the story have ended like this? Would it even have made the chapter? Because it's just what good would it have meant? It's just another person's dead, another person's life just wasted, another person's life just lost. Guys, God is here tonight to challenge us. I hope to shake us. I hope to encourage us. I hope to lift us up, to say, I want to be one of those three guys, and I know which one it is. I want to be the Good Samaritan. I want to make a difference. Jesus said at the very end, go and do likewise. This is what he's saying to us. Let's stand together. We're finished.